Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's May 22, 2017, and this is episode 574. I've been using Apple Photos for a couple of years now, and although I don't use it to edit images, I've fallen in love with all of the ways in which it brings my photos and video clips together and the freedom that that brings. Today I'm going to share how I use Apple Photos and how I feel it's made the way I live with my photos more intimate. In 2014, Apple replaced the camera roll with the Photos app in the iOS 8 update, and then added the Photos application on the macOS in April 2015. Photos was also added to the Apple TV OS in 2016, meaning that I can literally access my photos on every visual device that I own. The idea of being able to seamlessly sync all of my photos and memories between all of my devices was too much to resist. So when Apple released Photos for the macOS in April 2015, I decided to take a closer look at it. Until that point, I had always exported a full-size JPEG of all of my final selects from each shoot or tour that I did, and kept them in my Dropbox. That gave me access to everything, and I also used those photos for slideshows and screensavers. It worked, but it wasn't as smooth as the promise that Photos and iCloud came with. At first, there was one thing that I didn't like, and that was how Apple stored my photos. Regardless of when the images were shot, they all got shoved into a single folder for the day that I imported the images into the Photos application. Being a bit of a control freak, I would have loved it if my images were stored into year, month, and day folders for the actual day that they were shot, but Apple Photos doesn't do that. I can opt to reference photos from where I have them on the hard drive, but then I imagine all of the iPhone photos and videos that I shoot will end up in different locations to where I store my images, and because the Photos app was already doing a good job of keeping tabs on all of that, I decided to give up this control and let Photos look after everything. After working this way for 2 years now, I can safely say that it hasn't bothered me not being able to get straight to the image in a folder structure. This is partly because of how I organize my images, and also thanks to the visual listing of images in the Photos app, making it easy to browse and find things. If I need a JPEG of an image or a movie file, I just drag it from the Photos app to my desktop and I get a copy. If I want a JPEG while I'm in Capture One Pro, I simply export a new one, so I really haven't missed the folder access. Let me briefly explain what I do to import my finals into Photos. So after each shoot that I do, I export a full-size JPEG to a temporary folder on my desktop. It's easy to just scroll through each year in the Photos area of the Photos app, but because that contains all of my iPhone images and videos as well, that's not always what I want. To ensure that I can get to each year of my final selects, I generally start by creating or navigating to my year folder for the current year and just drag my images to that album. Doing this imports the images not only to that album, but also to the overall Photos timeline view. If you look at the second row in the screenshot that I have on the blog at mbp.ac/574, you will also see a number of folders for my Japan winter tours, Iceland and the Greenland tours. These are the tours that I've done since switching to Capture One Pro, and I've basically replaced the collections that I used to create in Lightroom to make it easy to share these images with people on my iPad as we travel, and also with my wife back home, as I'll explain later. I do, of course, keep these groupings as collections in Capture One Pro as well, but I can't share them from there as I could with Lightroom Mobile. I also like to just keep these JPEGs handy for quick access, and because these will be synced across all of my devices in the same organization albums. Generally, when I'm on tour, I create the tour album first because I often remove photos or update the group as I tweak my selection, and once that's finalized, I select the contents of my tour album and hit the plus button in the top toolbar to just add the images to my album for that year. It's important to not drag the JPEGs from my desktop to multiple albums because that imports the same images multiple times, giving me duplicates in my photos timeline. I did that a few times when I first started using photos, and it's a bit of a pain to clean up. As I've mentioned, one of the biggest benefits of using Apple Photos for me is that it stores all of my images and videos that I shoot on my iPhone right there alongside my regular work, and I can enjoy the benefits of that in a number of ways that we'll touch on today. To enable this, you do have to turn on iCloud Photo Library in the iCloud settings under the Preferences for the Photos application. Notice too that there's an option to download originals to this Mac or to optimize Mac storage. I took this screenshot that I've embedded in the blog on my iMac with lots of storage. So I have the originals of my photos and videos all stored locally on this machine. On my MacBook Pro, where storage is at more of a premium, I select Optimize Mac Storage to save on disk space. There were a few things that I missed from Lightroom when I switched to Capture One, and one of those was the map view. I've been geotagging my images for a number of years now and find it useful to view my images on a map. Of course, everything that I shoot with my iPhone is automatically geotagged, so now all of my images and videos appear on the map, whether I shoot them with my iPhone or my DSLR camera. Although Capture One Pro has the ability to show a geotagged image on a map, it simply opens Google Maps with a pin to where the image was shot, and you can only view one image on the map at a time. I like to be able to open the map and see all of the images in my library on the same map, and that works very well in Lightroom, and is actually even better integrated into the Apple Photos app, both on the macOS and iOS, once I have all of my final selects in my library. In Photos on the macOS, if you hit the information icon in the top right, you get a nice little information window with EXIF data and a map showing where the image was made. We can also scroll down on any image to reveal a map, and there's a Show Nearby Photos link which will jump to a map that will show you all of the geotagged images in your library that were shot in that area. You can, of course, zoom out on the map to show a wider area with all of the images shot in that area. You can also jump straight to the map view and browse images by location in the same way by clicking on the Places icon in the toolbar on the left or navigating to the Places album in the album view. Another thing that I miss, but I'm actually still using Lightroom for, is Lightroom Mobile. I'm using it still to keep a copy of my portfolios on my devices. I could create my portfolios in the Photos app because all of my portfolio images are in there, but they're spread out throughout my Photos timeline, and it's time consuming to locate them and bring them into a portfolio album. When I worked in Lightroom, it was a no-brainer because I just added my images to a collection for each portfolio and then turned on syncing via Lightroom Mobile. I have continued to miss this, although I now have all of my portfolios and collections in Capture One Pro, and I'm only updating them in Capture One Pro now. When I make changes to a portfolio now, though, I export the images as JPEGs and import them into Lightroom and add them to my portfolio collection in Lightroom, which is syncing with Lightroom Mobile. I could create my portfolios in the Photos app, say, for example, by using keywords and smart albums, but that would require either re-importing freshly keyworded images, then removing duplicates. I could also go through my timeline and locate each image and add it to a portfolio album. Either way, it would be time-consuming, so for now, Lightroom Mobile just makes more sense for my portfolios. Plus, I really do like the way Lightroom Mobile displays photos and gives us really smooth access to EXIF data. I always encourage people to find their optimal exposure by themselves in the field, but I do often reference and talk about my settings in an educational situation. So being able to quickly check and discuss shooting settings is an important part of my work. To enable me to view EXIF data on my photos in Apple Photos, I've started to use an app called View EXIF. Unfortunately, if the full-sized image isn't cached on the device, View EXIF has to download it before it can show the EXIF data. So it isn't very practical when I'm in other countries and don't have Wi-Fi, but it works for me most of the time. As you can see in this screenshot, once installed, you can add a View EXIF option to your share menu on the iPhone or iPad, and this opens a window with lots of information about the image as you scroll down. Another cool thing about View EXIF is that if you want to share an image without EXIF data, specifically location information, you can hit the share button again and an option to share the image with or without the metadata is there. That then sends you back to the iOS sharing options, so it all works very smoothly. As I mentioned earlier, when I'm traveling, I generally create an album for that specific tour and then drop images into it as I make my initial selections. I often delete these images after the tour when I come to a fully processed final selection, but having a living collection as I travel helps me in a couple of ways. The first one is that if we have reasonable Wi-Fi, I can sync my JPEGs via the Photos app to my iPad and iPhone. This gives me a way to quickly share work that I'm doing with people in my group when we're talking about what we've already shot. I try to avoid over-influencing them because I don't like planting visual seeds that might paralyze their own creativity, but sometimes sharing photos of the location that you're still in can be a good way to inspire the participants. The other thing that I like to do is to share these photos with my wife so that she can follow along with my progress as I travel. To share images in Apple Photos, select the album or individual images and press the share button in the toolbar and then select iCloud Photo Sharing. It's important to note though that this does not share the album itself, so if you add more images to your album, they won't automatically sync into your shared album. You basically create a new shared album that appears in the left toolbar. And to add more images, you either need to select them and then select iCloud Photo Sharing again, then select the same shared album, or drag your new images to the shared album in the sidebar. I do wish this was smoother, but it works okay once you get used to it. I do like how the Favorites album works in Photos. A little while after a tour or shoot, I'll go into my photo stream or the tour album that I created and select a number of images that still stand out to me and mark them as favorites. To mark images as favorites on the Mac, you either click on the heart icon in the toolbar, or a quicker way is to hit the period key on the keyboard. On my 2016 MacBook Pro, a heart or favorite button appears on the touch bar when I'm viewing images. And I sometimes use this as well, especially as I can then use both hands with one on the navigation and the other to hit the favorites button as I see something I like. Once you have a few images marked as favorites, you can then use these in a number of places throughout your system. My favorite is to go in and set up the screensaver to cycle randomly through my favorites folder, and this album is automatically updated as I add and remove images, so it's a great way to keep the selection of images that are displayed as screensaver updated. Another thing that I like about this process is that I can sit with my iPad or iPhone and mark images as favorites just by tapping the heart icon in the toolbar, and they are added to favorites across all of my devices. This means I can add or remove images really easily on my own terms. I find that how I feel about my images changes sometimes based on how I'm viewing them, so being able to work on selections from various devices can once again make the process and resulting selections more intimate. Let's move on now and talk about memories as Photos defines them. The time that I get most fired up about Apple Photos is when I'm browsing through my images on my iPhone or on the iPad or Apple TV, and I play one of the automatically created memory slideshows. I shoot a lot of short videos with my iPhone, and the quality is so good that as I play a memory slideshow, when it occasionally switches to a video of a place that I visited, it adds a beautiful extra dimension that really brings the presentation to life. For example, I can be watching a memory slideshow from Iceland, and all of a sudden there will be a video of waves crashing against the beach with the ice on it. Or I can be watching a slideshow of photos from one of my snow monkeys and Hokkaido tours, and the hooper swans at Tsunayu will be paddling around together and flapping their wings in slow motion. You can save memories and delete them if you want to, but generally, I just keep them and go back through them over time. Although seemingly random, they are a beautiful way to recall what you were up to at any given point. My only wish is that they had better dynamically updating titles. I have a best of last month memory album from October 2016, which I love. It has footage of a friend that I went shooting with here in Tokyo and images and video from a trip to my wife's home in the countryside. It truly is a series of wonderful memories, but it was only last month in November 2016. You can create memories manually from albums, though, so there is a way to work around this by copying everything to an album, and we'll look at how to create memories manually from an album shortly. As you can see in this screenshot, when you click the play button to watch a memory, you can select the theme and change the music that will play along with your images and videos. Most of these are quite tasteful and really do make for great ways to watch and recall your memories. Although they are often amazing as spontaneous presentations, sometimes the memory slideshow doesn't contain images or videos that I'd like to see, so occasionally I create an album and drop in some images and video clips and just play that as a slideshow. Once you have an album with your images and video, there's also an option in the top right to show as a memory. Once you're in the memory view, if you scroll down to the bottom, there's an option to add to memories as well. And then it just becomes another memory like the automatically created ones. I found that it sometimes takes a while for videos to be included in these manually created memories. But if you click on the Show All link below the title image, all photos and videos will be displayed both on the screen and in the memory when you hit the play button. Instead of just hitting the play button in an album, if you want more control over the slideshow, you can also create a slideshow project. Just select your images, or when you're inside an album, click the plus button in the top toolbar and select slideshow. I personally prefer Photomagico for slideshows, so I haven't used this myself, but it's there as an option and it looks pretty easy to use. Similarly, you can use your images to create calendars, books, cards, and prints from third-party printing services. What's available may depend on where you're based, and you can change the country for your print product store in the preferences. I love to print myself, so the prints option doesn't interest me, but for casual printing of calendars or cards, I may well give this a try at some point. Okay, so we've covered most of the points that I find fun and useful in Apple's Photos application, but there are just a few other observations that I'd like to touch on before we finish. I've noticed more and more on my tours that as people photograph and video other group members, it's become really easy to just share those images via AirDrop. On my Hokkaido winter landscape adventure this year, pretty much as soon as we got onto the bus after a shoot or at evening meals, someone would shout out to another member of the group, AirDrop, and then they'd transfer that person's photo directly to the other person's iPhone. This results in us coming away from trips with photos and videos of ourselves that we would probably never receive after that person has gotten home. We shoot photos of others with all good intentions, but following up and actually sending those photos later by email is a bit of a pain. Apple has basically removed that barrier, so people are able to share photos much more easily and spontaneously, and this again leads to a much more intimate photo stream. The last thing that I'd like to touch on, and one of the most important in my opinion, is that I've found from using Apple Photos and Memories that it's taught me to not take my images so seriously. When I'm out on a shoot trying to make beautiful photos of nature and wildlife, I work hard at my art, and although it's generally an enjoyable experience, I tend to take my work quite seriously. When I see the work alongside iPhone photos and video clips, shot more as a record of my journey, or even just a record of my life, it makes the entire experience more relaxed and less serious, and I really like that. It's such a wonderful feeling to be watching a slideshow of what I consider some of my best work, and then someone that I met while traveling shows up on the screen, or a funny sign that I noticed in Reykjavik reminds me of that wonderful dry Icelandic humor. I also really like being able to look back at pretty much every image that I've shot digitally since 2001, and a whole bunch of scanned images and old family photos that I've imported into the Photos application. I recall sitting on the last night of my third Japan winter tour this year, and our amazing bus driver went through just about every one of these images and basically watched my life for the last 17 years and was able to see me grow as a photographer as well. There were also many photos that are just my iPhone records of my life, and so I wouldn't usually share these with others, but that is part of the intimacy that Apple Photos brings, and I'm totally enjoying it. If you're an Apple user and you've written off photos for any reason, I hope this has given you a bit of an insight into how easily it makes managing your images and keeping a record of your life right there on all of your devices. I wouldn't dream of replacing Capture One Pro or Lightroom with Photos as my raw processing software, but for the uses that I've covered today, I'm really enjoying working with Photos. Before we close, I'd like to quickly mention that I've set up a new tour to Morocco from October 29 to November 10, 2017. We'll be photographing the wonderful architecture and landscapes and culture of this beautiful country, as well as using camel handlers as models to photograph them leading their camels through the sand dunes, etc. We don't have much time to lock in on this, so if you'd like to join me, please check out the details at mbp.ac/Morocco. So that's MOROCCO. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. Subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes, that helps to keep us relevant in the huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are on martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.